We can get started here. I think this is March the 25th. I tried to pay attention to the calendar, and I've had a terrible week. And paying attention has been kind of secondary considering the things that I've been dealing with this week. Whew, been a rough week. All right, John, we finished up St. John chapter 11 last Sunday. And I never really spake a whole lot about that last verse. And I'd like to recap just a little bit on that last verse. And verse 57, it says, "Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it that they might take him."
Yeah.
Now, they're not only mad at Jesus, and they're not only wanting to get rid of Jesus, but if you look in this next chapter, chapter 12, verse 10, they even want to get rid of Lazarus.
Right.
They don't even like Lazarus. And the next verse says, because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. That reminds me of a lot of politics going on today. I don't really want to get political, but it's hard not to. In this day and hour, looking back on mistakes that have been made due to situations like this, having the wrong people in power. And, you know, the Bible said when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin's a reproach to any people. And, you know, some people, they just don't need to be given power.
Right.
And that's kind of what Israel's predicament was. They had the wrong people in power, and it was taking its toll on them. Just this week, let me just say this concerning politicians. A liberal activist group demanded that Democrats boycott the AIPAC meeting, AIPAC meeting, and of those, Elizabeth Warren has already consented to boycott it. Kamala Harris has already consented. Bernie Sanders already consented. Bet O'Rourke, or whatever the guy's name is, Bet O'Rourke. Julian Castro, Howard Schultz, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and I can't say some of these. Ilhan Omar, the Muslim girl, and the other Muslim girl. And you can just kind of see how these things are just kind of in the grass or just kind of shadowing this country. And that's not, you know, it's going to end up not only coming out, but it's going to end up causing all kinds of trouble with our peace. You know, I want peace. They say they want peace, but they really don't.
Right.
They want their kind of peace. They don't want the peace of God that passeth understanding. They want the kind of peace that as long as they're in power,
they say
there'll be peace.
That's right.
And I will have to admit that's a false peace. And the Bible does talk about in the last days, they'll say peace, peace, and then come sudden destruction. They're almost trying to initiate that, or it looks like they are, just seeing what they're being told by this liberal activist group. It'd be interesting to kind of watch this, but they said they didn't want one single Democrat to attend that AIPAC meeting, which is about Israel and the Middle East and all that stuff, about the Jews and all that. They're not for that. So it'd be good to kind of keep an eye on that. Okay, let's get in our lesson this morning. Father, we thank you for every day of mercy you give us, Lord. Lord, we stand amazed at your grace. I'm humbled. I'm belittled. Lord, I'm just so thankful, Lord. You love us in such a degree of love. When the Bible said God so loved the world, that word soul says so much. We don't have enough words in our vocabulary to understand your great love. Lord, help us today to draw, Lord, truth from your word. Help us to understand things, Lord, that only God can help a man to understand. We know, Lord, you teach us, Lord, spiritual things, the Spirit teaching, Lord, us Lord, the scriptures, Lord, that are hard to understand. We know, Lord, that You're the one, Lord, that has to open our eyes, our understanding, and Lord, our heart and our ears. We pray, God, for that today. Bless, I pray, our Sunday school lesson. And Lord, we thank You and praise You. And whatever You do, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting in St. John chapter 12, Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead. It ought to be a time of celebration. It ought to be a time of rejoicing. And right in the middle of this wonderful thing, a man that's been dead 4 days, been brought back to life. You think, you know, that the whole town would run, come down. But these Pharisees, they're right on the scene.
Yeah.
I do want to back up a little bit in St. John chapter 11, starting in verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him. That's a good verse. Mm-hmm. But some of them, it's kind of like when Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt. The Bible said they went with them a mixed multitude.
Right.
You read about that mixed multitude. All they did was cause problems. You know, I know we're becoming integrated and we're becoming a melting pot. And you know, it's almost a sin to be an American right now.
Yes.
And I thought our government, and I'm being political again, but I can't help it. I thought our government was supposed to be of the people.
Amen.
And
Amen.
For the people. I thought it was supposed to seek to uphold the Constitution of this United States instead of destroy it. But anyway, let me get back into this lesson here. John chapter 11, verse 46. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we?" You know, the world just don't know how to handle Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know how to handle Him when He's alive. And they didn't know how to handle Him when He resurrected. And even today, they don't know how to handle Him. Today, they try to make Jesus a byword.
Right.
I'll tell you one thing, buddy. When He shows up, they're going to regret how they handled Him. I'll tell you that right now. And He's coming. And I say like John, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But anyway, what do we? That's the world's question. You know, Pilate said, "What shall I do with this Jesus, which is called Christ?" Well, in similarity, here they are. What shall we do? This Jesus, man, He's healing lepers. He's opened blind eyes.
Yeah.
Hey, He's raising from the dead. He's doing all these miracles. What do we? I'll tell you what they do. They just cause trouble. That's what they do.
That's right.
Man, this may be better than a Sunday school lesson. I didn't realize I was going to recap and get blessed doing it. But they said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." Did you notice they called Jesus a man?
Yeah.
I'd like to preach a message sometime, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to one day. On Jesus, was He good or was He God? A lot of people even today struggle with the fact that Jesus was God. They just cannot see Him
uh-huh.
as God.
That's right.
You know, that rich young ruler come to Jesus. "What good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" Jesus just gave him the benefit of the doubt. "Why call me good? There's nothing good but God." All he had to do was say, "You're God." And he'd have got the answer to his quest that he was seeking eternal life right there. But he couldn't see no more than a good master. And a lot of people in the same predicament.
Right.
They can't see Him as God manifested in the flesh. They can't see Him as God come down to die for sinful humanity. They can't see that. And these are, they're just like it. "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." And that is true. They couldn't handle Him. They couldn't handle what He's doing. And boy, they're in a dilemma. They're in a predicament.
Yeah.
They know they want to do something, but they can't do nothing. And here they said, "If we let Him thus alone." And you know, that's what the world, Pilate's wife, said, "Have nothing to do with that just man."
Yeah.
I've suffered many things today in a dream because of him. The world wants to somehow, I guess you'd call that mission impossible, they want to somehow have nothing to do with Jesus. You know, we're a rebel at heart. We come out of the womb lying, speaking lies, and we go through life. I'll do it my way like Frank Sinatra. But you know what? One way or another, you're going to have something to do with Jesus. Right. He's either going to be your Savior or he's going to be your judge.
Amen.
But you're not ever going to live a lie and not have something to do with this Jesus. Now, you can be in denial. You can read all the books. You can believe all the lies. You can put your head in the sand all you want to. He's still coming. And one way or another, and I say this with great plainness of speech, you can either bow your knee now and receive Him as your Lord and Savior and live a blessed, beautiful, wonderful life, or you'll bow your knee when He shows up and you will confess He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. But here their predicament is, if we let Him thus alone, buddy, they had more than they realized when it come to Jesus.
Yeah.
They could have got all the king's men, all the king's horses, and they still couldn't handle this man.
That's right.
Never a man spake like this man. No man ever done what this man did. I mean, he walked on the water. Man, he commanded the waves and the wind, and it obeyed him. I want you to know, buddy, there was more to him that met the eye. And if everything he done had been written, the world couldn't have contained the books there.
Right.
But anyway, if we let Him thus alone, I'm getting blessed this morning. Hallelujah. They said, if we let Him alone, all men will believe on Him. Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
Can you imagine even living in a world where everyone knew the Lord? You wouldn't have to worry about that woman that was driving her car in California and the passenger in her car stabbed her to death.
Yeah.
Stabbed her till she wrecked her Lexus, and as she tried to get out the driver's door, he ran around from the passenger side and stabbed her till a man come up and literally beat him off of her, and she died. 33 years old. Died. Mm. That may be normal for California, but that's not normal for where I live.
No.
I'm glad I don't live there. Another woman had two pit bulls. They'd been quarantined because they bit someone, and she's determined to prove that there wasn't nothing wrong with the two pit bulls. She let them out and they killed her. They had to shoot both dogs just to get her away from them. But you know what? The world somehow, they've got that kind of mind.
Yeah.
Somehow or another, they think they know more than God. If all men did believe on Him, there truly could be peace on earth. But you know, they want peace on earth. They just don't want to go to Him to get it.
Right.
They want to go to Dr. Peace.
Right.
They want to go to Science Peace. They want to go to New Green Deal. They want to try, you know, some kind of miracle cure. Anything. I heard one time about a woman that she become very ill. And she went to the doctor and went through many treatments and took many medications and it seemed like surgeries and everything had all failed. And the doctor called her in her office. He said, I need to talk with you. She sat down and he said, I just want you to know I'm trying to be honest with you here. We've done everything we know to do and I only know one other thing to do. She said, what's that, doctor? He said, we need to pray. She said, oh my God, has it come to that? Is it that bad? I mean, that's kind of the mentality of the world. It's the last option. I mean, they'd rather jump off a cliff than take the loving hand of God to help them.
Right.
Hmm. Oh my. If we let Him thus alone, all men will believe on Him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. You know, the world thinks they're going to lose. Yeah, I did. I remember when I was 18 years old, my grandfather came to me. I'm kind of rehashing last lesson. I can't help it. I remember I was 18 years old. I was in my backyard. I had my shirt off. In my field. I'm sitting there drinking a long neck brown past blue ribbon. And I saw my godly grandfather coming up the backyard. He lived down below me. And I saw him making his way up to me. And I put that past blue ribbon behind my back. And here he come. Walked right up to me. And he looked at me, his eyes was real bad, his glasses, I guess they was an inch thick, made his eyeballs look like bowling balls. And he looked up at me and he said, "Horsefly, I really wish you'd get saved. I love you. I'm praying for you." And I'm sitting there in my mind, I didn't say this with words, but in my mind I thought, "Papa Ed, I'm 18 years old. Let me do all I want to do. Maybe when I'm 81, but not 18. You know, we think that when we get saved, we're going to lose out on something. I thought I won't get to do the things I want to do if I get saved. Listen, I've been saved. I was late. I got saved at the age of 34 years old. I enjoy the things I do now. There's nothing hanging over my head like there was the age of 18 and 34 when I had that fearful looking under judgment, when I had to worry about waking up in hell, when I had to worry about what was going to come the next day. I'm telling you, it's well with my soul. Amen.
Amen.
But the world thinks, well, if we let him thus alone, we'll lose. I tell you what, buddy, you better do something with this Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest loser I know is the ones that miss out on heaven and end up where the devil's going.
Brother Eddie, I'm going to walk back here and set this for us.
All righty. The devil, the Bible said that hell was made for the devil and his angels, Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 41. And anybody that ends up in that place of the damned, they miss it all. They miss out on heaven. They miss out on the mercy of God. They miss out on the love of God. They miss out on the blessings of God. And they end up down there, and forever they have eternal regret. If I'd only listen, if I'd only let him, if I'd only run to him and got fixed, I wouldn't be here. And hell's a terrible place to spend eternity.
Yes, Lord.
They're trying to figure out a way around Jesus.
That's right.
You know, I guess I'm just like them. Until I got saved, I was trying to figure out some way to live a life apart from Jesus.
Yeah.
Maybe we're all guilty. I don't know.
Yeah.
But their thoughts are like our thoughts. If we let him thus alone, here, Lord doing all these works, they have to deny the works. They have to deny him. They have to somehow live a life apart from him. And their confession here is, if we do let him alone, all men will believe on him. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with people getting saved? What's wrong with people believing on Jesus?
Right.
Then they say, if they do that, the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. That's the mind of this world.
Mm-hmm.
The world thinks they're going to lose if they ever give any place to the Lord. They're already a loser.
That's right.
Man, I'll tell you what. I was a loser for 34 years old.
Yes.
Praise God, I'm not just saved now. I'll tell you right now, I'm on the winning side now. Thanks be to God to give us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus. The world can't understand that. But the psalmist said boldly and plainly, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good," in Psalms 34 verse 8. I had never tasted. Therefore, I didn't know what I was missing out on. But I have to admit, me and Brother Ed's talking about being saved. After I did taste of the heavenly gift, after I did sit down at the table of the Lord, I wanted more and more. And you can have all of God you want. All you got to do is let go of the world, and you can have your bosom full of God. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Or you can be double-minded and try to hold on the world one hand, God on the other hand. You'll be unstable in all your ways. You'll be up one day and down the next.
Yes.
Well, anyway, let's get on. I want to get in John chapter 12. One of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest, same year, said unto them, "You know nothing at all." Boy, I amen that statement. Most of the world ain't got a clue what the heck God is doing or what God is doing. They just want to somehow explain it away as some kind of nonsense. Anybody believe that can believe anything if they believe some of that nonsense. I tell you. He said, "You know nothing at all, nor consider," and they don't, "that it's expedient for us, and it is, that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." And that was the plan and the will of God.
Uh-huh.
"This spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and he did." And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence to a country near to the wilderness of the city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. And then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, will he not come to the feast?" Yes, he will. Now both the chief priests and Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, he should show it that they might take him. Okay, I want to rehash all of that. Let's get on now with St. John chapter 12. It's important to say all of that before we get to this first verse.
Yes.
Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. That makes more sense after you just read what we just read.
Right.
And there they made him a supper. Boy, I tell you what, when Jesus shows up, I'll tell you right now, I'd like to make him a supper most times, though he feeds me.
Yeah,
and Martha served. Now, Martha's always a servant, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. I want you to notice that Jesus and Lazarus are supping together. Then took Mary, that's Martha's sister, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I want you to know what she done was a noble thing.
Yeah.
She's honoring him. She's worshiping him. She's humbling herself before him. She's taking her glory, which a woman's hair is her glory, and putting it on the feet of Jesus along with this ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, was always one of them around.
Yep.
Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now, the next verse tells you that he didn't care about the poor. Verse 6 says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag and buried what was put therein. He didn't care anything about Jesus. He didn't care anything about Mary. He didn't care anything about the poor. He's more mindful of the things of the world.
Right. Kind
of like Demas. Paul said, he has left me, having loved this present world. There's a lot of Judases today that they say they love the Lord, but in works they deny Him. And then you got some, I tell you what, they ain't got nothing but the Lord. And they've got more than all the other world. It's got all the possession of the world. I'm telling you, they're richer than the rich. And like Mary, they take what they got and they honor God with it. Amen.
That's right.
You know what Jesus did though? He took up for Mary.
Yes.
Then said Jesus, let her alone. But nothing else really needed to be said after that.
That's right.
He could have just said, let her alone. That would have been good enough. But he went on in this let her alone. Mm-hmm. Against the day of my burying. Buddy, she knows something. Morning, says Sharon.
Morning.
She knows he don't have long. She knows there's going to be a Calvary. She knows he's going to the grave. He says, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. You know what? She's honoring the Lord while he's here.
That's right.
She's honoring the Lord while she can. She gives the best she has for him. I want you to know, buddy, he took notice of it, but so did the devil.
Well, thank you.
Now, when I say so did the devil, I want to back up just a little bit so you'll understand why I said the devil took notice of what Mary did. In St. John chapter number 6, Jesus said in verse number 70, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?
Yeah.
Verse 71, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So I want you to know Jesus took notice of what she did, and the devil also took notice of what she did. The devil said it in a bad way. Jesus said it in a good way. But it goes on and he rebukes the devil, Judas. He said, "For the poor always you have with you, but me have you have not always." Now, buddy, he not only advocated for Mary, but he rebuked Judas at the same time. That made Judas mad. It don't take much to make a devil mad. I've been around a bunch of them. I've worked with them. I've been in church with them. I mean, you got to kind of tiptoe. You got to be careful. It don't take much to set them off. I want you to know Jesus made Judas mad. Buddy, he's mad. Most people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only. And imagine, listen to this. They're not just coming because of Jesus, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. You let a church get on fire, a bunch of people getting saved, and people will show up. I'll tell you what, they want to hear about the Lord, they want to hear about the singing, they want to hear about the preaching, but they want to also see those that were saved. It's kind of like, you know, when a baby's born, everybody wants to hold it, everybody wants to see it all, ain't it pretty, they all want to see it. Well, Lazarus is kind of like that. I mean, he's kind of like just been raised from the dead. I was dead in trespass and sin. I got saved. I'm like Lazarus, buddy. Hey, I'm in newness of life. I may not understand it. I may not be able to talk right or do it right. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm alive now. Where I was dead, now I'm alive. That blind man, he said it about as good as I know how to say it. He said, "All I know is I'm blind, now I see." Yeah. Sometimes you can't put it into words. In St. John, I believe it's chapter 8. He said, "One thing I know, we're not blind." He said, "Now I see." Now, St. John chapter 9, verse 35, when he was contended with or confronted, verse 25, St. John chapter 9, he answered and said, "One thing I do know, where I was blind, now I see." When a blind man can see, he knows he can see. And they're trying to tell him he wasn't even born blind. But anyway, Lazarus, he's just been raised from the dead. People are wanting to see this Lazarus now. They also want to see Jesus, but that's not the only reason. They come to see Jesus and Lazarus. Look at verse 10. "But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death."
Yeah.
"Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." Now, when somebody does get saved, and I've been through this. I got saved. Man, I went to work. These people had never talked to me about the Bible. Never talked to me about being lost or saved or about the Lord or nothing. They come out of the woodwork. They didn't really care about the fact I saved. They wanted me to believe what they believed. Mm-hmm. And what they believed wasn't true. I wasn't real strong. But I had, like that blind man, I had one thing for sure. I knew I was saved.
Yeah.
One man tried to tell me, he said, "You can't be saved." I said, "Well, I was washing my hands." Let me give you a for instance here. I was washing my hands in the bathroom and the foreman come in there. "We know." I said, "No, I'm saved." He said, "You can't know you're saved." I said, "Well, I don't know about you, but I know I'm saved." I seen him this week. I seen him Saturday. And I didn't make no big issue about that, but, you know, that rocked his boat a little bit.
Yeah.
He said, "You can't know you're saved." I said, "I do. I know I'm saved."
Yeah.
And then another guy came up to me, and he said something like, you know, I got to be careful here, but he said something like, you know, "Have you been baptized?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I got baptized 2 weeks after I got saved." He said, you can't be saved to get baptized." And he said, "Nowhere in the Bible does it say you can be saved without being baptized." I just took him straight to Romans chapter 10, verse 13.
Yeah.
I said, "It says right here, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved." I said, "Where's baptism in that?" He said, "I didn't know that's in it." I said, "Go some more. Here's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. I just want you to know, Titus chapter 2, verse 5, I believe it is.
Take him to the cross.
Yeah, I said, yeah, and the thief on the cross.
Yeah.
But this guy here, I just want you to know that they were trying to overthrow what I had accepted, what I had believed, and what I was born again, saved.
Yes.
And here it comes, and these are kind of like attacks of the devil. And these These Pharisees, they're kind of like that. They're trying to somehow overthrow the fact that Lazarus has been raised from the dead. They don't care about Lazarus. They don't care about Jesus. Man, they're just concerned about people are believing because of Lazarus and because of Jesus. And they're worried about losing their little church or their little work, their little place, you know. It says in verse 11, because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. They're losing members, maybe. Maybe that's the best way to put that.
Yeah.
A lot of churches are like that.
Yeah.
Man, they'll cause all kind of propaganda. They'll say all manner of evil about you. That bunch over there, they believe this, they believe that. Come on over and sit a while with us.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a pushover. Are you with the LGBT, QRST, WXYZ come in here? Just let them sit right on the front row. If they can take it, I'll tell you right now, I can dish it out.
They can't take it.
I want you to know they'll be trying to find a place out here.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the Bible said about the preacher, he beareth not the sword in vain. I know how to use the sword. I know where to go. I know what to preach. And I'll tell you what, I'm not tossed to and fro. I'm solid. You know, the foundation of God not only share the Lord, know them that are His. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, I've had a few troublemakers. They didn't sit long. They didn't stay long.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, this word right here is enough to set them on the run. And anyway, they're concerned about losing members. Hello. They're concerned about people coming to Jesus. Hello.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, buddy, Jesus does rock the boat of a lot of churches, doctrines, and beliefs.
Yes.
I know they want to make us all one color. They want to make us all one religion. It's coming.
Yeah.
I'm just not ready for it just yet.
That's right.
I got to be taken out of the way before it's ever going to happen. But I will tell you this. When they have taken us out of the way, it's going to be a one world religion.
Yes, it will be.
It really will. But it can't happen until we're gone.
Amen.
We're in the way.
That's right.
I like being in the way.
I do too.
Amen. I seen old Bernie Sanders. He had 7 stitches over his eyes about what I like to feel about the devil. I get a lick in every now and then. I want them to know I'm still here.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. Big uproar here. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. He's alive sitting at the table eating with Jesus, and they're mad about it.
Yeah.
Man, they consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. They already want to kill Jesus.
Yeah.
Now they want to kill Lazarus. And the reason they want to kill him, they're jealous. You know what?
Well, see, they killed Lazarus and they killed Jesus with him, and Jesus can't bring Lazarus back again. They already seen that happen.
They
brought him back.
He's going to bring a bunch back with him.
Yeah,
back.
Amen. Yes, he is.
But you know what? When something real shows up, all the fakers get to looking bad.
Yeah.
Real makes fake look bad. Now, I hate to get all political, but I don't know no other way to say this, but we have a real president right now.
Yeah.
He really wants to put America first.
Yes,
not in the middle, not last. He wants to put America first. I thought that's what a president was supposed to do.
Yes,
yeah.
I thought he was supposed to set the direction for the country. March on, go forward. But we've been going around the mountain, round circles, going nowhere, and trying to make peace everywhere but here.
Yeah.
And for lack of better words, they hate him.
Yeah.
You can almost see this same thing playing again. They hate our president. Just because who does he think he is trying to make America first? We've been spending so much money. We've been putting forth so much effort to put America at the bottom of the list. And he's trying to resurrect it.
Yeah.
And they want to remove it from office.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know, buddy, I hope America wakes up. I believe, and you don't have to quote me on this, but I do believe Trump's an answer to prayer.
Yeah, I do too.
I know for years I've bailed to God. God help our country. God help our country. God help our country.
Yes.
And I never let up on it. Now it's God bless Trump. Help him do what you see him before he do.
Right.
And you know what? Him getting elected was a modern day miracle. And they don't know what to do with him. And I'm thankful for him. I do believe he's going to take America not only in the right direction, but I believe, praise God, America's going to be better off because of him being in that office. He's rough. I don't know nobody else could do the job he's done.
Right.
And this report come back, and for lack of better words, now they're trying to get rid of this Mueller report because you know what? It puts Obama in a bad light.
Yeah.
It puts Hitler in a bad light.
Yeah.
It puts Brainerd in a bad light. It puts all of them crooked politicians. I can't name all of them. But I'll tell you what, now when this Mueller report is finally revealed, truth's going to come out. And they've been trying to pin the tail on the donkey. It's going to get on the real donkey.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now. Flapper, that's another one. Flapper.
Yeah.
And the one, I can't think of his name, put her in the FBI there, over the FBI, I can't think of his name, but I'll tell you right now, it's kind of like the same situation right here. They can't handle Jesus. They can't handle the fact he raised Lazarus from the dead. They're at a loss. They're trying to do any means they can. They're consulting how to somehow get rid of Lazarus, get rid of Jesus, because of the trouble that having them around, people's leaving the fake religion of that day, the fake leaders of that day, and they're going with the real thing, and they're mad about it. Oh, that took a long time to get to verse 11. Verse 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, man, that's good news.
Yeah.
If we heard today, Karen, that Jesus was coming, man,
tighten that tie up a little.
I want to be ready to meet him.
Right.
Go out to meet the king.
Amen.
Come in for me.
Amen.
I don't see no other way out of this mess.
Amen.
No. No.
What a mess they made. I don't see no other way out, but he's coming.
Yes, he is.
He's coming for his.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
He's going to take his home.
Right,
we're going to finally get out with a shout, with a victory.
Amen.
Glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. I look around and says, my heart, to see what men are doing today. Trying to somehow live a life apart from Christ. To somehow go away other than what the Word of God says to go. There is a right way. Jesus said, I am the way, John 14:6. But they'll go any way but that way.
Right.
But on that next day, much people, they were come to the feast. It's a good time. It's a feast. It's a Passover feast. You know what the Passover feast is? That's when they kill the Passover lamb. Guess what? The Passover lamb is showing up. The real Passover lamb.
Right.
On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, look what they did. Probably the best scripture in the Bible right here.
Yeah.
They took branches of palm trees, went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. I imagine there's Pharisees' hair lift right now.
Yeah.
Man, they've done everything they do. They've done everything they could do to defeat and to somehow deceive people concerning Jesus. Now, the most fearful thing, what they've been afraid of more than anything, people's eyes are opening. Now they see Jesus for who he really is. This is more of God than it is of man. But they're taking the branches off the palm trees.
Yeah.
They're crying, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he found a young ass, set their own, as it's written. I want you to know this ain't an accident.
No, it's not.
This is prophecy being fulfilled.
Right.
He's fulfilling that prophecy. And my eyes are so bad I can't even read it. I think it's in Zechariah. Up underneath that truck, I've got my eyes out of whack here. Let's see here. The I wish I brought a magnifying glass. These 300 power ain't enough. I'm pretty sure that's that prophecy's out of Isaiah. Yeah, Zechariah. Sorry. Zechariah 9:9. Behold, your king cometh riding upon an ass. And here he is fulfilling that prophecy. As it's written, he's on this young donkey. And the prophecy says, verse 15, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's coat." And he's sitting on one wherein never a man sat. He's the first one to say, it ain't kicking, it ain't bucking, it ain't trying to bite him. I want you to know it's privileged, honored, thankful. I want you to know to have him sitting up on it. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things. These things were written of him that they had done these things unto him. A lot of things Jesus did, his disciples didn't understand. They's right there with him.
Right.
Hey, listen, there's a lot of things in this Bible I don't understand, but God brings them every now and then to my understanding. Well, I can understand a little bit of them. But Jesus here, they couldn't stop him. There wasn't nothing they could do to handle him. Here he is. They want to kill him. Instead of him getting killed, he's being honored. He's coming to the Passover feast. He's the Passover lamb. His disciples don't know what the heck is going on. The Pharisees don't know what the heck to do with him. Verse 17, "The people therefore that was with him when he caused Lazarus up out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record." I want you to know they acknowledged who this was sitting on his donkey.
That's right.
They acknowledged what he had done. "For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the whole world is gone after him." Boy, I wish that was true today. I wish the world would seek him. We fill this little church, add on and fill it again,
right,
and add on till there's no more room to add on. And I'll tell you right now, there'd still be room somehow for somebody to come in. Oh my, I wish the world would go after him. "There were certain Greeks among them which came up to worship at the feast, and the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." Boy, wouldn't that be good?
Yes.
They wanted to see Jesus. "And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew," and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. That's good that the whole world has gone after him. That's good that the world wants to see Jesus. And the world can come. And the world can see. And the world can know. I'll tell you what, when your word Jesus says, morning, Sister Bonnie. When your word Jesus says, I'll tell you what, that's a good place to be. Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they have no idea what this fixing to see.
No.
He is transformed right before their eyes.
Yeah.
They've been walking with him. Man, they've been climbing a mountain. They get up there and now they see the real Jesus.
That's right.
There's more to him than meets the eye.
Right. Amen.
And when they saw it, you know, they Baptist probably. Peter said, Lord, this is a good place to be. Let's build some houses, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elias. Mm-hmm. They want to stay there. When we see him as he is, we'll want to stay there, Jerry. We won't want to leave. Amen.
That's right.
We'll stop our Sunday school lesson right there. I'll tell you what, buddy. I like those verses. I like my Lord.
Yeah.
They couldn't handle him. And praise God, I'm glad they couldn't. They couldn't even handle Lazarus.
That's right.
Amen.